Flying in a 1,050-horsepower jet suit. Picking the right smart display for you. The Acer Chromebook 13. Live from the TWiT Studios in Petaluma, California, it's the new Screensavers.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
The new Screensavers is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/NSS. And by Slide Belts by Brig Taylor. High quality, comfortable ratchet belts that are easy to adjust. If you want a better belt, go to slidebelts.com/twit. And use the code TWIT for 20% off. From Seattle.
Love it.
Welcome to the new Screensavers. I'm Leo Laporte. Episode 184 recorded Saturday, November 24th, 2018. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Florence Ion.
Hello. Woo! Thank you.
Host of All About Android, IoT queen extraordinaire, host of Know How, IoT version. How was your Thanksgiving?
I had a lot of IoT projects. Drive me to tears.
Did you eat a Charmander instead of a turkey?
No, I did not. Actually, I put Charmander at the daycare. He's being grown right now by a Pokemon daycare specialist.
You're playing Pokemon Let's Go.
I am.
Is it fun?
It's so much fun.
Did you take your ball off?
I took the ball off, yes.
She was wearing it.
Swinging around.
We should do a review. Where is it? That's good. That's the Pokemon Go ball.
I shoved it somewhere in my purse.
Here, throw it to me. Can you throw it?
Yes, you can.
Oh!
There we go.
This is so cool. This is the hot... Boy, if you have a kid who likes Pokemon...
It's going to get confiscated in a lot of classrooms because it makes sounds.
If they play Let's Go,
yes.
You can use this. That's on the Switch.
Or for Pokemon Go.
And for the game, my game,
mm-hmm.
Pokemon Go, you mm-hmm. can use it. If you're walking around, it'll buzz when you mm-hmm. get near a Pokestop. You press that, it'll spin it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also let you know when there's a Pokemon nearby and you can press this to catch it.
Yep.
Kind of like that wrist Pokemon device.
Only $20 more.
This is, it's soft. It feels good.
You can play the game with it, too. That joystick moves
like
the character.
It's a joystick.
And then when you want to catch a Pokemon, you pretend to throw it, and it's like...
So it has an accelerometer
Yeah,
in it?
It does.
And that's why it has a wrist strap.
And you can rub the belly of the Pokemon that is currently in there.
What's in there right now?
A Kadabra.
And why is there a Kadabra in here?
Because I need to level it up. I need more psychic Pokemon in my arsenal.
So carrying it around will level it up?
Yes.
Does it make noise?
Well, it does. I think I accidentally muted it. The controls are kind of still hard to figure out. They're not exactly explained in the box.
There's a button here.
Yeah, and then if you shake it, you shake it real fast. Yeah, and then you'll see like the color of the Pokemon that's inside. Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. But is there really a Pokemon in it?
Well, yes.
That's so cool.
Yes, it's dormant right now.
When you get one of these for Christmas, take it apart to find the Pokemon inside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No, don't. Unless you want to hack it.
Do dogs love it. A lot of dogs have been tearing these apart. Yeah.
$50.
$50.
But that's going to be, I'm telling you, as silly as that is, that's going to be a hot holiday.
Oh, it's so fun.
You can wear that.
I love
you don't
it.
Have to take it
I
off.
I love it. It's bouncing around.
If you swing it around your head, does that count like walking?
I think it does, the same way it would on a phone.
It's just the accelerometer.
You just shake it to add
so
steps.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to keep doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. You're helping raise my Pokemon.
Hatch your Kadabra.
And I appreciate that.
Coming up on today's show, we have a really interesting guest joining us. Wait till you see this. He is a university lecturer that by day, by night, he dons a jetpack. It's the world's fastest, more than 1,000 horsepower, and flies around in a jet suit. He's
no
like,
big deal.
I know, he sounds like I'm talking about Dr., what's his name, Strange?
Yes.
But no, it's Dr. Angelo Grubisic from Gravity Industries, and I think you can get one of these for yourself.
Okay. All right.
Would you do it?
We'll see. We'll see. I will also help you figure out what to get for the other people on your list, because we've still got sales going on right now through Black Friday, through the holidays, so we'll talk about that coming up.
Good. And speaking of you know, sale items. I got one you could save $50 on. The Facebook portal is in-house. I've been playing with all week. I've been calling people. I almost hate to admit it, but I've been kind of having fun with it.
Yeah. Okay, dropping in on people.
How would you like a high-def camera from Facebook and microphone in
right,
your house?
Right,
well,
right.
Well, now you can.
Also, Jason Howe will give us a review of the business-centric Acer Chromebook 13. I'm looking forward to that.
This is everybody's talking about. This is like the hot new Chromebook. I'm excited.
I don't know if it's that hot. We'll see.
We're also going to get to some mailbag questions, but first the stories of the week. It was Black Friday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
People started shopping on Thanksgiving,
yeah,
which kind of shocked me.
From bed, on their phones.
Apparently, shoppers spent $1 billion Thanksgiving Day on their smartphones. Shopping. $1 billion on Thanksgiving.
Go have some turkey.
Stop shopping.
Sat in the mall and used their phones to shop.
CNBC quoted Adobe Analytics. Overall online spending, $3.7 billion. That's up almost a third from last year. That's a big jump.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's just Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
Black Friday, we still don't have the numbers for yesterday.
True. Or this whole
weekend. Do you shop on Black Friday?
I generally try to only shop for what I need, because Black Friday is a great time to get a lot of discounts on stuff if you've been holding out on them. So
I wanted to get my mom, don't tell her, an Apple iPad and keyboard, because she likes to draw on the pencil.
Mm-hmm.
There are no deals.
Yeah.
Apple... There was one, I found one deal, $50 off at B&H, but it's only on certain models. They give you a card if it's best you can hope for. It's like an iTunes gift
only
card.
Only students get deals.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there are lots of other deals. This was the weekend of the voice assistant. You could get a Google Dot for like $20. There are all sorts of things. We'll have a few of them.
Yeah.
You're going to show us. Amazon's doing a little Black Friday shopping. You shop on Amazon, they shop. You. They want to buy 22 cable sports channels, you know, like the Yankees network. Turns out Disney has to sell them because they bought Fox. So Amazon's getting in the market.
Interesting.
Your Yes TV may soon be brought to you by Amazon. You know what's interesting about this? I think Amazon can buy this without fear of government interference because it's not their business, right?
You mean the sports channels aren't their business?
So, like, nobody's going to say because, like, Disney, they're in the broadcasting industry, so they can't just buy all. They have to, if they're going to buy Fox, they have to get rid of the FCC.
Monopoly.
Have to get rid of some stuff,
right?
But the Amazon, you know, they can buy stuff in all sorts of sectors because they're a shopping website,
quote unquote.
So they say. And finally, there's a really interesting story in the Wall Street Journal this week, and I talked a little bit about it on the Tech Guy. I do not know what to think. I'm curious what you think. You've seen the Huawei P20 phone, the new Mate 20X, which is awesome, like maybe one of the most technologically sophisticated phones out there. You can't buy it in the U.S.
Mm-mm.
And that's because last year when Huawei said, oh, we're going to bring the, I think this was the P20, to market. It's a beautiful Android phone, and Verizon and AT&T have agreed to distribute it. And then the U.S. Commerce Department or somebody said, it would be a shame if you was to sell this phone. A nice network you got there. For whatever reason, Verizon and AT&T pulled out at the last minute. Huawei was furious. In fact, it was the CEO or somebody, I think, on stage from Huawei at CES was livid. He was because the U.S. government, the Commerce Department, even Congress, back in 2012, said these Chinese companies like Huawei and ZTE are, you know, partly owned by the Chinese military. Huawei was founded by a guy from the Chinese military, retired. And they're worried that they're maybe be used for spying on American industries or worse, used to disrupt telecom networks should a cyber war break out. So they're now, according to the Wall Street Journal, the United States is going, and they just say, they don't say who, they say U.S. government officials are going around to our allies, Italy and Japan and Germany and England, and saying, don't use Huawei gear in your 5G networks. There's a problem. Huawei's the number one seller of telecommunications equipment in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Nokia. Number three is Ericsson. If you're talking about smartphones, they're number two after Samsung. So they're widely bought all over the world. And in fact, one Italian official said, well, we'd like to stop using Huawei gear in our 5G network, but they're the best. There's nobody else. So I don't, and I think there's just, I wonder how much political this is and how much technology it is. So there's a political thing. You know, we're in a trade war with China. So that's why I'm curious which government officials said this. Was it somebody from the Commerce Department or somebody from the Department of Homeland Security? Was it from the intelligence agencies? Who's saying this? Is this because of legitimate fear of spying, or is it because we want to stick it to the Chinese? And as a result, to Americans who want to buy Huawei products. I guess at this point, I would just say don't buy Huawei, but...
I mean, you can't buy Huawei here and have it be 100%.
I have a P20. It works fine.
Really?
Huawei won't sell it in the U.S. because they don't have carrier agreements,
right.
But it works fine in the U.S.
Right.
You can buy, and we reviewed the Huawei beautiful mm-hmm. laptop. I thought that was great.
Yeah. They make great products.
I talked to the director of public relations for Huawei about this, and she said she's American-based. She's in Seattle. She says it's very irritating.
Yeah.
Everything goes through Germany. It's not going, we're not sending information back to China. This is great stuff. Here's one of the biggest manufacturers in the world, and the U.S. is telling people don't buy their stuff. And it's not, I would like to see if there's a reason for this. Because the other thing is, yeah, if you buy Samsung, Samsung's made in South Korea and Thailand and other places. But some of the parts, many of the parts are made in China.
Yep.
If you buy an iPhone, many parts are made in China, and the whole thing's assembled in China.
Yep.
Where are we going to draw the line?
Yep.
We don't have the manufacturing capability in the U.S.
And if you're going to ban Huawei, you've got to ban all the other Chinese brands, too, not just Huawei.
It's very confusing. I don't know what to say. I guess my recommendation will be, I would like more information on this, but based on what we're hearing, I guess my recommendation would be don't buy a Huawei phone or a Huawei laptop. And it's a bigger deal, of course, if you know, telecommunications networks use Huawei, because then they're more vulnerable to cyber attack. But aren't we all kind of viral? I don't know what to think. Anyway, that's the story. I throw it at you. You decide whether to catch it or, like the Pokemon Go, just chew it up.
Please don't chew it up.
Take your cadaver.
It's like $50.
Do you have a dog?
It's a lot of money. I have a cat.
Cat won't chew it.
She's old.
Cat might bat it around.
Yeah. No, she doesn't play.
We're going to talk jet-powered human fight. She doesn't play?
No.
What kind of cat? Oh, I guess cats don't play, do they?
She's a princess.
You try to play with a cat, they look
she's
at you.
She's a lounger. She doesn't play. She just looks beautiful. That's why I love her.
We're going to talk jet-powered human flight.
Yeah.
I want to see you do this. You know who's going to do this? Lisa would do it. My wife would do this.
I would do it.
She's
I'll
insane.
Do it with Lisa. We'll go fly in the
I
air
would
together.
I'd like to watch that. We'll talk to Gravity Industries' Dr. Angela Grubesich next. But first, a word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. This is appropriate, right? From Quicken Loans. You don't have to wear a jet suit to do Rocket Mortgage. All you have to do is go to Quicken Loans' website, rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Here's why you might want to. Like a jet suit, Rocket Mortgage is fast. It's easy. It doesn't require a visit to the bank. It doesn't require a big, long application. You just go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Fill out a short little online thing. You can do it on your phone. Just name, address, birth date, social, that kind of thing. Then they're going to run a credit check on you. And they'll tell you within a few minutes which loans you qualify for. You choose the term, the rate, the down payment. They give you pre-qualified approval in just a few minutes. This is great. You're at an open house. You want to say, hey, we want to make an offer. Having that pre-qualified approval is great. But that's not where it all stops, because then over the next 24 hours, in most cases, without any help from you, you don't have to go to the attic and get bank statements, call prior employers and get pay information. You just let them do it. Their loan officers will verify your income, your assets, and your credit, and within 24 hours give you the next step, verified approval. Now you got a letter you can show your realtor or the seller that says, we're good for it. We're verified. We go right to the front of the line. We are basically a cash buyer. No contingency on us, baby. And that's when the third step takes effect. Once you're verified, I love this, you're qualified for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. See, as interest rates go up, there's some anxiety introduced in the home hunting process, because you feel pressured to buy now, because you wait a week and interest rates go up, that house is going to cost thousands of dollars more over the life of the loan. That's no good. But you don't have to worry. With Rate Shield approval, you're locked. Your rate can't go up for up to 90 days while you shop. You have 3 months, no anxiety. You know what that loan's going to cost you. Actually, you don't exactly, because if rates go down, your loan rate goes down. It just can't go up. It's exactly what you'd expect from America's largest and best mortgage lender. Go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS to get your Rate Shield approval. Racial approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030. Here's all you have to remember. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. Do it right now. Sign up. Get going. Buy that house. Whoa! Do it as fast as Dr. Angela Grubezich. How fast? Dr. Grubezich, thank you for joining us. He's an aerospace engineer, a lecturer of astronautics at the University of Southampton. He's joining us from the UK. You have done the wingsuit thing. You've done base jumping.
I've done quite a lot of extreme sports, yeah, including base jumping.
Are you insane?
That's kind of what I live for. You know, it's these pioneering sports, test of your motor skills, test of your concentration levels. I love all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it gets your heart going, right?
Absolutely.
You're a thrill seeker. Yeah. What does your mother say about all this?
Oh.
She's actually pretty supportive. I mean, her father was actually one of the oldest skydivers in the world.
Oh, you're kidding?
So he kind of set the bar a little bit higher about what was normal.
That's awesome.
It's a family tradition. It runs in the family.
You came by this honestly.
Yes.
So, Dr. Grubezich, what is Gravity Industries?
First of all, what is Gravity Industries? I guess you could describe it as a collection of almost Avenger-like characters. There's a core team of individuals who are at the top of their game in terms of electronics, additive manufacturing, jet engine design, and actually extreme sports as well. So when you consider all those things as a whole, we're actually developing the world's first jet suit that can be bought, we can do it demonstrations, and we're ultimately trying to develop it into a racing concept to race these jet suits one against another in a big competition.
God, we've all seen this by now. You've seen this on YouTube, I think, because this is crazy stuff. So the jet suit is 1,050 horsepower.
Yeah, it takes a huge amount of power to actually get somebody off the ground. Would you believe it?
So is it solid fuel? What are you burning in there?
Believe it or not, it's actually jet fuel. It's conventional jet fuel. We take about 15 to 20 liters on a typical flight, and we're burning about 4 liters a minute. So they're pretty thirsty beasts.
Mm. So you got about a 5-minute flight.
Yes. So we're looking at extending that with the use of wings that we'll talk about a bit later. But conventionally, what you can see here is we're typically getting flight times in a region of about 3 to 4 minutes. Yeah.
The jets are on your arms only, or is there one behind you too?
Yeah, so the original developer, Richard Browning, who you can see here flying, started off with answering the question, well, what can the human body achieve if you just augment it with the right technology?
Indeed.
And unlike a lot of other concepts that you see where people tend to, you know, use gyroscopically stabilized platforms, and essentially it's much more like bolting a human to an aircraft or an air vehicle of kinds. Essentially, what you're doing here is boiling it down to the basic fundamentals. You know, what can you do if you simply... And I mean simply bolt jet engines and fuel tanks onto a human being. What can that human being achieve? And would you believe it? Just by a process of elimination, Richard Browning managed to converge on a solution. And you can see him here testing some of those solutions that he started off with that was able to produce enough thrust to get a human being off the ground and also make it controllable. And we did that using no more than the human neurovestibular system, the inner balance organs that we rely on every day.
Let me ask.
Interesting.
I don't think he invented this, because I remember James Bond, Sean Connery, running away from the bad guys. They're coming after him, and he flew away in a jet suit.
Looks the same. Exact same.
Obviously, your partner was inspired by Bond. James Bond.
He's just flying away. No problem.
I wanted one of these since I was a kid. But everybody told me, there's no way. These didn't exist until recently.
Would you believe it? That's the shock that you see on people's faces. I mean, we flew at the Bournemouth Air Festival about August this year. And, we flew together. There were two of us flying. And I think you've got a video of it.
Oh, let's see it. I'd love to see that.
The shock on people, on 400,000 people's faces as we flew out from the beach and, set new records
now,
for flight time.
What? Okay. Do you have to do a lot of – how do you train for this? You can't train for this. I would do this and I would immediately land on my head. I would fly into the ground. How do you know how to do this?
It's just man. Like riding a bike, except in three dimensions. So here you can see myself and Richard taking off from the Bournemouth Pier, accelerating to around about 50 miles per hour. We're keeping the altitude at a safe altitude. You know, we could, if we wanted to, go straight up. And there you can see 400,000 people watching us as part of the air festival. And it's an incredibly noisy and visceral experience for anyone that watches this. You know, it's something that very few people have ever seen before.
It's a rocket.
And when they see... Well, it's actually a jet engine, which is completely different.
Worse than a rocket.
It's the
jet
airplane. Engine. The airplane jet engines on your actual wings.
So we're hovering much like the Joint Strike Fighter or Harrier aircraft. Using the same process. So these are pure micro jet turbine engines.
Wow.
So just using kerosene to produce massive amounts of thrust. And you can see the kind of maneuverability we get with that. You know, there is both of us flying over Bournemouth Beach. A few days earlier, we actually did a rehearsal where I was hovering at 18 meters and just watching the sunset over Bournemouth Beach. And it was just such an incredible experience. I really had to just pinch myself and go, are we actually doing this? Is this real?
So that's because really the innovation is the idea is not of a rocket, but of a little small jet mm-hmm. engine.
Exactly. So the suit that you actually showed a little bit earlier with Bond was a real suit, but it was actually hydrogen peroxide powered rockets. So the problem with that system is it's very fuel thirsty. You can only hover for maybe 30, 40 seconds. But our system, you can get much longer endurance. So you're talking about 4 minutes or more. If you think then about augmenting that further, you can even get beyond that.
You must have to hold your arms fairly stiff.
Yeah.
Is it hard work to fly?
Yeah, are you flexing the whole time?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't physical.
Okay.
We actually have to support about 90 kilograms of thrust on our two arms. So it's like holding yourself on a parallel bar for an extended period of time.
So
it is quite physical. Have to be fit.
And then we have about 50 kilos on the rear engine as well. So our combined takeoff weight is approaching 150 kilos.
That's well over 300 pounds for the American viewers. That's a lot of
exactly.
weight. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. But it's actually quite minimalistic when you consider it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, most of that weight is the human being.
Right.
Only 50 to 60 kilos of that is actually the actual jet engines themselves. And, you know, we're developing this concept further. We're improving the reliability of systems. We're increasing endurance. And we're trying to grow this concept into a jet racing concept. So the best way to pioneer these kind of technologies really is by setting up competitions. It's the way it's usually worked in aviation. You know, competitions tend to inspire innovation. So we're actually going to set up a jet suit racing league in 2019. And that's going to launch in the UK at the Bournemouth Air Show, actually. And,
I would watch this in a heartbeat. Wouldn't that be
It looks exactly like my dreams. Like how I take off in my dreams and fly.
Yeah, it's really dreamy to fly as well. It feels very peaceful. Other than the noise, which looks incredibly and sounds incredibly violent, it's actually a very peaceful experience. So you'd be surprised.
Yeah, we've actually turned off the sound so that people won't hear it, but it's like a rocket taking off.
So I was
going
to ask, are you using...
Our jet airplane taking off.
Are you using muffs? And then what about the smell of the jet engine and all that?
Oh, it just smells like being at an airport, so it's nothing different to that. No.
Burning kerosene.
Yeah.
And it's a really friendly fuel to work with compared to a lot of other hazardous stuff that you might also consider.
Is it pretty hot coming out of those jets? Do you have to avoid the... pointing them at anybody?
Well, believe it or not, the specific heat capacity of air is so low that you end up with quite modest temperatures by the time you get about a meter away.
Interesting.
So, it's a very safe system to use. When we're training people, so we have a training program for new pilots coming in. You can easily stand a few feet away from other pilots with no problems.
How hard is it to learn?
It's a good question. I guess it's kind of like riding a bike. How hard is it to learn to ride a bike? You know, some people can learn quicker than others.
Would your grandpa be able to do this if he came back and said, hey, I'd like to see what you guys are up to. Would you? I think he would do this. I think grandpa would do this.
That'd be pretty cool. he'd be pretty proud. So
I think he would.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike, but in three dimensions. So not only do you have to control left, right, forward, back, and roll, but you also have to control your altitude as well.
So there's
some
balance.
Like balancing.
There's some balance involved in it.
Yeah, it's pure balance.
Yeah.
There's nothing to help you in balancing. It's purely down to what you are seeing, what you're feeling, and how your body responds to that to try and keep you stable. It is surprisingly easy. I actually learned to fly within 7 minutes in the suit.
Wow.
But you're actually talking to a wingsuit base jumper, so that's
kind of used to this.
Skewing it a little bit. But that's actually where we're trying to take the technology next. We're beyond the jet suit racing concept. We're actually trying to, you know, actually increase the range of the suit by developing wings. And I think you've got a video to show what it's like to actually fly with wings in the form of wingsuit.
You don't see people commuting to work in this thing.
Not yet.
We're in the business of entertainment. I must make that clear. So don't think that you're going to be going up, up to work in this anytime soon.
So this is a traditional wingsuit, but it's with jet assist.
Yeah, so this is me in the Dolomite Mountains in Italy, and this is a conventional wingsuit. So there's no powered engines in here. It's just gliding. And in this case, you're literally gliding with ram air inflated aerofoil. So you're turning the human body into an aircraft, essentially.
Wow.
So instead of hovering, we're actually flying here, just like a bird. And we're able to manipulate our body position to change our direction and roll your pitch, just like an aircraft would.
It's amazing.
Just flying.
Yeah, you're absolutely flying.
This is incredible.
So, by the way, I'm just curious, how the hell did you get this video?
This is actually a 360-degree camera mounted on my helmet. It's only about a foot.
Which one?
It actually looks... It's actually an Insta360 one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little camera. You know,
I thought
really
you had to get another guy flying in front of you to get that shot. And I was thinking, that sounds nuts. Okay, wow, look at this. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no big deal. I'm just jumping and then, flying.
That takes some real guts.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, man.
And
so
focus.
For the last 3 years, I've actually been developing these suits, and we're now developing the highest performance wingsuits on the market in collaboration with Squirrel. The idea is to then take these designs of wingsuits and actually integrate them into the jet suit concept at Gravity to actually offload some of the lift required to lift you off the ground and transition to this kind of horizontal flight. So what you're looking at here is gliding flight. If we introduce jet engines and actually, you know, get about 30 or 40 kilos of thrust, what you can look at is actually, you know, sustained flight with the relatively small amounts of fuel usage. So you could potentially fly for upwards of 10 to 20 minutes with that kind of system.
Wow.
Okay, now we're talking.
Wow.
How much would this set me back?
So it is on sale in the UK at Selfridges for $400,000. And that's the going price for not just the jet suit, but the training program that comes with it. And we just a few weeks ago had one of our US customers come over, and he placed an order, and we trained him to fly the jet suit over a period of about 2 days. And it's a great if you have those kind of funds, it's a great way to learn and try something that most people will never have access to.
OMG!
Yeah,
Selfridges. Actually, I think they're having a Black Friday sale because it looks like it's only $373,000. So Black Friday sale right now on the Jet Suit Series.
All right.
Three,
okay.
If you want to get this. Now, this does not include the squirrel suit. That's coming down the road next year, or?
Yeah, so we're going to be trying that over the next few months and pushing that concept as well.
I like it.
That's going to be quite a specialized concept. I wouldn't recommend that for the faint-hearted.
People, here at Selfridges, it says, people who bought the Jet Suit Series 3 were also interested in Fitbits.
Fitbits.
I don't think so.
That's would you also like this?
Yeah. You might want a Fitbit. I don't know. I don't think so. That is, and so people have actually, it's actually says low in stock. People are buying these.
Yeah, we have a limited number of suits on sale. I think we started off saying that we were going to sell 9.
Wait a minute. Let me just add that to my bag. Because I'd like to know. Does that? There you go.
There's
go.
Leo.
I'm going to work.
Bye,
baby.
Leo.
Right, when are you coming over?
Total before delivery, $373,310. That doesn't include training, or does that include some training?
That's the full cost of the training program as well.
Okay. Thank God.
Yeah, we have multiple days.
So it's a deal, really.
you come over. First of all, we teach you to fly VR systems. So we have a VR form of jet suit that you learn to fly first.
Yeah.
It teaches you the basics. And then we get you in a training rig. And what you can see here is an area called the Hush House, which is our training platform.
Oh, my God.
So this hangar that you see here is actually where we train our customers.
How
and
fun.
It's this type of system that allows you to, you know, safely trial the jet suit, learn to use those motor control skills in a safe environment.
Gravity.co.
Wow.
I think this would be a great holiday gift for somebody you wanted to get rid of.
Bye. Nice knowing you.
I'm sure my son is going to ask me for one. That is so cool. I mean, you've really made this work. This is clearly more than just a prototype. This is working, and I think it's great. Dr. Gribozic, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Stay safe out there. Dr. Angelo Gribozic, aerospace engineer. I bet the students at the University of Southampton love him. He's a lecturer there at aerobatics, a wingsuit base jumper, and director of flight training for gravity.co. Thank you, Dr. Gribozic. Really
thank you
great.
So much.
Wow. Would you do that?
Yeah, of course I would.
I'm actually thinking I would. But you know what? Given my track record with drones, I probably
Do you have a bad
shouldn't.
Track record with drones?
No.
No. Not at all.
Oops.
Florence has a gift guide. Nothing quite that expensive.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Much more affordable.
Yeah. But
especially
something you may
Black
want.
Friday deals.
We're going to talk Android phones and smart displays. I will show you the Facebook portal. We've got Jason's review of the hottest Chromebook out there, but first a word about my belt. My belt.
My belt.
Look at that. It's the Twit belt. This is my slide belts by Brig Taylor. I got to tell you, this is the best belt ever. Let me open it up and show you why. See, a normal belt, you got 3 or 4 holes in it, right? This doesn't have any holes. This is that patented ratchet mechanism with 32 adjustments. See, a normal belt, it's either a little too tight or a little too loose. Either you can't breathe or your pants fall down. That's not good. But with slide belts, you get it just the right. And I love the sound, too. Let me. I don't know if you'll be able to hear this, but it sounds so good when you put it on. I just want to point out, if you have a big turkey dinner, right, and maybe you need a little more room, it's silent when it comes, when it expands. No one will know you're opening up your belt. Just it's quiet. Slide belts come with a variety of buckles. This is the brushed chrome buckle, and yes, you can engrave it. This would be a great gift for groomsmen. Actually, they have slide belts for kids. They have slide belts for women, unisex survival belts, colorful belts, skinny belts. Let me show you. This is a good one. This would be a good one for the kids. This is the brass, brushed brass, the antique brass with, I kind of call this a Cub Scout belt because it's got the navy blue, right? It's the Cub Scout colors, but it's a little bit more grown up. Let me show you how the slide belt works. So the buck, it'll come like this with the buckle separate from the strap. That's because the strap's interchangeable. You can put any strap in there. The straps have markers for, you know, like your starting measurement. So you put your waist size in there. Then you just insert it in this little hole here, and it locks down, and it's locked good and tight, but it's easy to remove if you want to change the belt. So you can have a variety of straps for your, you know, whether you want to wear it around the house, at the office, at a holiday party. It's a great travel belt, very easy to take off if you're going through the security. They have full grain and top grain leather straps. This is a canvas strap. They have animal friendly vegan straps. Oh, look at that. That's the survival belt. This would be a great gift for somebody in your family. Looks like a regular belt buckle, right, Flo? Until
whoa,
you take out the sharp, sharp knife and bottle opener. So
I was gonna say, opens
you can
beers.
You can have a beer too. It also has let me close this so I don't hurt myself. It also has a flashlight in here. It's a very bright LED flashlight and a fire starter.
Oh,
so you can this is for surviving. I love this. This would be such a great gift for groomsmen or for the holidays, for the guy in your life, the Ron Swanson type in your life, right? Mm-hmm. If you knew a Ron Swanson type, oh, I'd love this, Leo. That'd be a great gift for him. This is slide belts from Brig Taylor. They now offer watches with swappable watch bands, too, so you can customize those. And before you check out, do click the gift set tabs for some great offers. But remember, those are already discounted, so you're not going to get our special discount. We have a special discount on everything else, though. 20% off your order, no matter how many gifts you buy, 20% off when you use the offer code TWIT at slidebelts.com/TWIT. This is such a great gift for anybody in your family. If you've been having trouble shopping for somebody, go to slidebelts.com/TWIT. And you see, just take the, I just take it right out of here once I've attached it so I can swap the belt. It's very easy. It just comes right off the buckle on the belt. Slidebelts.com/TWIT. 20% off your order right now at slidebelts.com/TWIT. Slidebelts from Brig Taylor. I love these guys. Now, let's walk on over to the table because it's time for Florence Ion's Holiday Gift Guide. There we go.
La 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 la. Ta 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 ta.
All right, I'm dancing. So much dancing.
So for the remaining weeks of 2018,
yes,
every Screensavers, we're going to ask our co-host, in this case, the lovely Florence Ion, to pick some holiday gift items. Mm-hmm. So this is what you may find under your tree,
yes,
if you're a friend of Flo's.
First, let's start with phones, though, for those of you Android users out there.
I get this question a lot.
Right. What kind of phone should you get for the Android user in your life?
Yes.
Well, we've got three main picks for this holiday season. We've got the Google Pixel 3 or the Pixel 3 XL. We've got the Samsung Note 9, and we've got the OnePlus 6T, which I actually have over here.
It's funny you should mention this because I just recommended this because a listener said she'd been using the Axon, which I liked a lot from Huawei,
mm-hmm,
and it recently broke, and she wanted a new Android device, but she didn't want to spend a lot of money.
Oop.
And this is a very nice phone. They're basically selling a flagship phone for, what, about $500?
Yep, $550 for a flagship phone. It comes with minimum six gigabytes of RAM. So if you've got a power user in your life who loves who is an Android fan or who just loves playing video games,
do you really
this
need six
great.
Gigs?
6 gigs of RAM, up to 8 gigs of RAM if you want that extra two, and up to 256 gigs of space.
That's
which
crazy.
Makes it great for media hogs if you just love to have all the media with you. And then this is the phone you would get. And also, because it's got that big 6.4-inch, nearly bezel-to-bezel-less screen with a little teardrop notch, so it's not like a huge notch.
That is the smallest notch I've seen since the Essential phone.
It's just a nice little accoutrement right here. With a little camera in there. It's got 16 and 20 megapixel camera on the back, so you get that dual camera flavor.
Nice.
Really nice feeling back. This is a really solid phone. And this year, you can buy the OnePlus 6T through carriers like T-Mobile.
Oh, nice.
And have that set up. Or you can connect it to Verizon if you've got some Verizon folks in your life.
And there is not a Black Friday price cut, but they are at giving free charger bundles, right?
Yes.
At OnePlus.com.
And as it stands, OnePlus, I mean, as far as the other flagship devices, this is a lot lower than what you'd spend on a Pixel 3 or a Samsung.
And I think a lot of reviewers are saying just as good. I like the Oxygen OS that they use. Mm-hmm. It's a very clean Android.
Yep. Based on top of Android Pie.
And so it is Pie. It's mm-hmm. 8
mm-hmm.
or 9.
9.
And you're going to get, I presume, all the security updates on a timely basis.
Yep, depending on OnePlus. But they've got their own development team.
They're
got
pretty
their
quick.
Own, you know, they're very good about that because they really cater to the Android user base.
So at that price, I mean, you can get Pixels now, right now, I think if you go to Verizon, mm-hmm. there's a complicated deal. You have to sign up for Verizon, and you get an eligible trade-in, and you get $400 off. So that's a pretty good deal. But that's through the 25th at Verizon on a Pixel 3.
True.
Still, without having to go through all that rigmarole, and I read on Reddit there's a complicated way you have to sign up for Verizon, you have to activate the phone, but then you can call Verizon and say, I don't want to activate the phone, put your other SIM in and still use it with another carrier. I like that. That's pretty. You'd be a good phone
trying
model,
to do my best.
You're a good phone model.
Home shopping network, QVC. My best Lisa Rinna. So the Pixel 3, if you are into the Google way of living, the Pixel 3 also makes, I mean, it, there are some... There are some deals right now happening at the Google Store. We've got the Pixel 3, the 5.5-inch smaller deals about, you can save $150 on that.
See, that's good.
Which is pretty good.
It's
more than
Pixel
I
3.
Saved yeah. when I bought
you,
it.
You use a Pixel 3?
I have a Pixel 3, yes.
What do you think?
I love it.
Me too.
I love it. It's the best. And you get that computational photography, which is absolutely legitimate.
Night sight, I promise you. Mind-boggling.
Night sight is absolutely mind-boggling. The portrait mode is so good if you know how to do, you know, if you get like a white background or a nice solid color background behind you and you get some, you know, hang out with some folks, do a little portrait mode, you can easily make your holiday photo and send that off to the printers to
now,
make cards.
This is no teeny weeny notch though on this thing. This is the biggest notch
the
I've
Pixel
ever seen.
The Pixel 3 XL, yes, has a very big notch. So the XL, I guess, is for the notch, but also for the 6.3-inch screen size.
I have an XL. I really like it. And the notch,
bigger.
I don't even notice the notch. Now,
no.
You know, it goes away. But you have a regular Pixel 3.
I have a regular Pixel 3.
That's notchless.
It's notchless. It has beautiful rounded corners. I have it in the not paint, not quite... Not.
You have the not pink?
The not pink.
Oh, do you have it with you? I want to see the not pink.
I do, but it's so... It's buried somewhere in my purse.
That's okay.
Because I dropped it.
I've seen your purse. I don't want to...
It's crazy in there. But I dropped it. So that's why I don't want to bring it on screen.
It's
no longer camera ready.
Really?
I dropped
it.
It's bad. It's definitely not being resold. Next year. So I'm keeping that for a while. But, you know, it's a good deal at the Google store till the 25th if you want to... You know.
That's my favorite, although I have to say I'm eyeing that 6T. That looks pretty nice.
I mean, it's beautiful, as they say.
I think the prettiest phone out there is the Huawei, Mate 20. I think that is a gorgeous phone.
And great also camera.
Great camera. But then should we get Huawei? I guess not. So I hesitate to point this out, but the OnePlus is also a Chinese company.
Taiwanese?
Are they Taiwanese? Not Chinese. Okay.
Okay. No, I think they are Chinese.
Oppo.
Sorry.
They're Oppo, right? That's Chinese.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So this is why I don't understand. You know, well, are some phones okay? No phone? Should we not buy Chinese stuff anymore? If you took all the Chinese stuff out of this studio, we'd be shouting to you from a far away place. So I don't know.
Hello?
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
Whoa.
The Pixel 3 is made in China?
It is. It is.
All right, what else you got? A Note 9. That's
Note
not made
9.
In China. That's made in South Korea.
Yes.
You got some deals on that?
So we do got some deals on... We do got some deals on that, folks. I'm still working on my QVC personality.
Really has turned into the QVC channel.
Galaxy Note 9 now starts at $800, but there's a $200 off on an Amazon deal going on.
That's a great deal.
Which is pretty great. When you think about the S Pen.
$40 more than the 16. I almost feel like that's a better deal. Get the pen, the bigger screen.
Yeah, it depends how you feel about Samsung. So you are getting the Samsung interface on this. Yes, it is built on top of Android.
I don't like the Samsung Touch Wiz interface.
You might like the new interface that's coming out, the One UI, which should be out, I think, early next year. But the actual hardware is beautiful. I mean, this hardware is great hardware when you hold it in your hand. You have that S Pen, which... You know, it works like a stylus, but also you can use it as a camera remote if you like, so that you could take, you know,
selfies.
I think
that's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Which is fun. It's a fun way to use that. And if you're very business-minded, you know, my mother uses a Note 8. I know that's last year's, but she uses a Note 8 to run her business, and she says it helps her so much just to have that big screen, to have that S Pen.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the Note 9, it has a giant 4,000 milliamp battery, so that's going to keep you around as much as you need. You can do wireless charging. It's got, you can buy an additional DeX adapter to get yourself a desktop experience. And if you watch All About Android, you might know that there are some Linux capabilities coming to that.
I saw
that. So Samsung's really putting some power into its phones. The Note 9 also has some slightly improved camera features compared to the Galaxy S9 and the Galaxy S9 Plus. But... This is the most latest from Samsung. So if you're looking to buy the most latest gift,
the most
for family
latest,
member,
and I do
the
love
most
these.
Latest.
This is glass, though. You should note
it is glass.
So that means the back. I'm sure I'm showing you the back. So it is, and I do like this yellow S Pen.
They come in different colors depending on the color that you buy.
Yeah.
So the yellow one comes with the blue variant.
Right.
It's also worth noting that this is $300 off at Best Buy, Verizon, AT&T. And Sprint, the latter three require an activation, though if you're planning on upgrading the family, you know, maybe this is a good time to go think, you know, what would my family like? You don't have to get all the same phones.
You know why this is my, I think, my favorite Android phone?
Why?
It's got a headphone jack.
Oh, that's right.
Got a headphone jack.
The Type-C charging,
but a headphone jack.
Right.
The legacy port. I love that port.
Good time to mention the OnePlus 6T does not have a headphone jack. The
Nothing
Pixel 3
does.
Does not have a headphone jack.
What's wrong with people?
They do come with adapters for your headphones.
That's not the same.
It's not the same, but the Pixel 3 does come with Pixel
Buds.
Earphones.
Headphone, Type-C. Actually, headphones. Very decent Type-C headphones.
They're hard to stay in your ear.
But this works with any headphones.
It does.
It's called a headphone jack. You ever heard of it?
These actually come, the Samsung phones come with some great, I think they still come with AKG.
Yeah,
some
very nice.
Great
very
phone,
nice.
Headphones
and
that
they have
I
little
use
magnets
for
that attach together. And
that's
stuff
nice.
Like that. I have to say, if I could, you know what, if I could put Oxygen or just a pure Android on this phone, this would be the phone of choice by far. And a number of people have named the S9 the best Android phone of the year. It is definitely amazing hardware. I agree with you. I'm not crazy about Samsung's UI.
Yeah, see, I'm just really into the Google Assistant, which I think is a great way to transition over.
I don't like Bixby. Oh, here's our Google Assistant.
Our Google Assistants that we have right here.
I love this HomePod.
Okay, so right here. Let's start with the
dinky.
Google Home Hub, which is small. I like to place this by my makeup station so that I can catch up on my shows while I'm doing my contouring. If you want to get this on sale this weekend, it is down to actually $100 at many places, although it starts originally at $150.
But it's a little deceptive when you do that shot. Let me just show that Home Hub, and I'm going to put my Samsung S9. It's the same size screen as a phone.
7 inches.
It's a tiny screen.
7 inches.
So,
and this up here, by the way,
don't get fooled.
Not a camera. This is an ambient sensor.
That's a
good
thing.
So what this is going to do is you're going to swipe up from down here, and you're going to go. I'm doing this backwards. Let's see how well I can do this backwards. And you're going to see this little A. That means it's an ambient mode, so that when the room goes dark, it won't keep you up at night. The nice thing too about the Google Home Hub.
You're the Ginger Rogers of tech. You did that very well backwards.
Thank you. Yes. This is a lot of work.
Here's a whole
new. Woo. So yeah, this is $50 off, $100 at Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Kohl's, Lowe's. You know, check out, see what Costco has going on.
You know how I use that? Just as a digital photo frame. But I love it.
It's a great digital photo frame because now Google Photos has live photos, live photo albums. Also worth noting that now when you slide down, it'll show you all of your different controls. So we set this up today on Anthony's account. So we don't have all of the smart home accoutrement. But when I have this at home, I usually get little buttons for the lights and the things I have set up. You have the broadcast feature. If you need to get the kids up in the morning, you just have this and go, everybody, time to get up. And that works with Google Home Minis as well, so you don't need to get all of these.
This works great for somebody who's in the Google ecosystem, uses Google Photos, uses Google Home stuff, doesn't mind the small screen, likes the idea there's no camera. Price is right at $100.
The mic's back on.
$100.
Oh, your mic's back on.
$100. And actually, you can get, if you like, you can get these with some deals at the Google Store, including light bulbs and things of the sort for a little bit more.
Nice.
So next up we have
bigger,
much bigger. This is the Lenovo Smart Display. This is the 10-inch variant. I call this my kitchen television. This one is the big kahuna, but it's great because it's got 10-watt speakers in here. Oop, other way. 10-watt speakers in here. And now
you went the right way because the back is beautiful on this thing. It's not just the front. Oop. Look at the back. It's got this bamboo, curvy, warby,
swoopy. And I do apologize. So because this has been in my kitchen, we've got some grease stains that polish out.
Little leftover
but
turkey.
But I'm leaving it here to show you how this wears in your house. You see, this
looks
is a real-world experience.
That looks good.
And the thing is, it's nice to have this bamboo back because I think that it's a lot easier to clean than the cloth on the other Google Home.
You're right.
Because this has cloth on the back.
That is not a good kitchen
regardless
design.
Of color that you get.
Yeah.
And so this one's so much easier to clean with a little method. Put a little method on a rag and then just kind of clean it off. Works the same for the front.
How's the speaker? Does it sound pretty
good? The speaker is so good.
So the Google Home speaker's not great.
Google Home sounds like a little tinny. This one is much bassier.
Yeah.
However, this also has I don't know if we can see this, but we've got a camera over here. Now, if the camera makes you uncomfortable or you're just not feeling it, oops. Boop. There we go.
Oh.
You just There you go. Hardware
physical,
mute.
Physical
mute, so okay, nobody can peek in on you if you don't want it.
That's good.
I do love to use this, though, with my mother-in-law. We like to duo call her. And so when we're in the kitchen preparing dinner, we'll catch up with her. You know, she's in the Midwest, 2 hours ahead of us, so it's a nice time for us to all catch up while we're cooking.
With my mom.
Yeah.
While I was cooking Thanksgiving dinner, I FaceTimed her on my iPad, but it's the same thing, a big screen.
Exactly.
And I let her, we talked for 3 hours. She watched as I made the pasta.
It's really nice.
It's really fun.
It's a really nice way to stay in touch with family. Yeah. And we'll get more to that, I'm sure, when we talk about the portal.
It's the next best thing to visiting.
Yes.
Now, if I wanted better speakers, JBL also has one of these Google Home devices. This is their version.
Now, this is the JBL Link View. So we've got an 8-inch screen on this one, and it starts at $250 normally, but you can save $50 on it right now at JBL.com, Best Buy, and Newegg.
Also a physical shutter.
Also a physical shutter.
Turn the camera. You know, I'm glad they're all doing that. That's really great.
Right. You know, the thing about this, too, is if you love that loud sound of what you're looking for from a Google Assistant is a nice, loud, you know, maybe a little media controller, this is a good idea. Yes, it costs a little bit more than the other two. The Lenovo Smart Display is the one that's going to be on sale at the 8-inch level. The 10-inch is only on sale $70 off from Best Buy. A couple places, and $57 off at select bundles on Lenovo. But the 8-inch one is the one you can get for $100, so it's much smaller. However, the JB Link View gives you that louder sound. You still get that great screen. It does fit into a slightly different aesthetic, and, you know,
it's a little black, a little Death
Star-y. I mean, honestly, if you know, you've got the Bachelor pad, or maybe you're really into, like, the futuristic matte black, this is what you would get if you've got more of, like, a brighter home.
Yeah.
Of course, you want to choose something that fits in nicely, and it's nice to have this kind of, you know, spectrum.
All three of those are Google Assistant. If you're an Amazon fan, of course, Amazon, this is the older Echo Show. They have a newer design Echo Show that looks a lot better.
Yep.
But Amazon is really deep discounting all the Echo devices at Amazon.com. I noticed the thing in common with all of these, they have screens. And I really think a screen enhances a voice assistant in a lot of ways.
It does. It does. It's also, you got to think about these things, too. It's like shopping for a TV. So when you buy this, honestly, this is what I tell people when they ask me, what the heck should I get? I say, think of it as buying a TV. When you buy a TV, you're getting kind of an OS on there a little bit, and you want to know what is it compatible with all these cord-cutting services. Think the same way about these. What's Amazon offering me that I subscribe to? What is Google offering me that I subscribe to? One bummer about the Google way of living is that Netflix isn't currently available for casting to these particular devices.
Huh.
So if you're really into the new Sabrina, you're not going to be able to binge watch it on any of these.
On the other hand, YouTube is better on Google
and
devices.
YouTube TV, which is live TV, including all those sports channels.
Yeah.
So
there's something to be said for that.
It's something to think about. Yeah. Also music, you know, podcasts. You've got routines on all of these, smart home control. It's just, you know what? It's an affordable way to smarten up your house.
All right. There it is. Florence Ion's gift guide. Put a talking device in your kitchen, too. Thank you, Florence.
Thank you for letting me yap on about these things. They're fun.
And now, here, give me those cards because I don't know what's coming up next. It's time for live segment number 5. Don't you have a video or something to play to wrap up the gift guide? Yeah. That's kind of, that's it. Ta 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 ta.
It's the mirage.
Would you like to put Mark Zuckerberg in your house?
No. Not really.
Well, good news. Now you can. Mark's watching in at all times. This is, I got it, the Facebook portal.
Okay,
now, they make two different versions of the Facebook portal. This is the giant 15-inch size. Right now, $350 from Facebook, although Amazon's selling it, I'm surprised to see, for $50 off. So $300. You can get the portal 10-inch for $200 or $150. We've set this up. Let me just go, and I'm going to show you. In the setup process, one of the things it does is lets you try the camera. So one of the things people have been talking about with this device is the fact that the camera follows you around. Now, this is not the kind of camera that follows you around. It's not a point-tilt-zoom camera. It's just a one-direction wide-angle lens, but it's 4K. So it means it's high enough definition that, here, we'll try it. If you move around, it can follow you. Now, go ahead. See, it's zooming in on Florence. Now move out of the watch. It's following you. It's following you. You can't get away.
Nope.
Actually,
you can't
you got
see
away.
Me. What are you doing? Oh, it's expanding to
it's
get me down there.
It's expanding to get you in. So imagine you're on a phone call with your mother-in-law, and you're cooking. You're moving around. It's going to follow you around. Not super fast, which is okay, because you don't want to make mom throw up. But it does follow you around. And this is, of course, the image you're sending. This would be where mom would show up. And I'm going to show you a little bit about that.
Oh, hold on. Mom needs to see Leo, too.
Oh, yeah. This is kind of fun to play with this because it actually, as soon as it sees another face, it will zoom in
on
that.
Wow, it is like the commercial.
Yeah. But people, that freaked people out. Like, oh, Mark Zuckerberg's following you around. No, it's worse than that.
Oh, it's worse.
It's worse than that. Because this is a high-def camera. This is a 4K camera. This is such a good camera. Mark doesn't need to follow you around. He can see everything all the time. Now, I don't think Mark is actually following you around, but if he wanted to, this is a camera that shows everything, okay?
All so the mess in your
the
home.
The following you around thing is not creepy. Now, here's one thing that I think makes this nice. If you use Facebook for your photos and upload photos on Facebook, this is silly to use without a Facebook account.
Yeah.
In fact, you can't even set it up without a Facebook account. Although, for people who are interested, I don't normally use my Facebook account, so I run around with it deactivated. I reactivated it for setup, then deactivated it. It continues to work because it's using Facebook Messenger. So you can call anybody from Facebook Messenger. It will remember who your contacts were. Facebook Messenger, it turns out, doesn't get deactivated when Facebook does. So this continues to work. You might want it to be active, though, because, you see, these are all the images on my Facebook account. If I'm inactive, this won't work. So I'm going to turn on my photos and maybe some photos from trips. So you can choose the albums. And those will show up in the frame. It also, you can link it to Spotify or Pandora because this has Amazon Echo built in. This is what's confusing. Echo has other stuff. This is using Portal, but you can also use Echo. So it's very confusing. So Portal will tie to Spotify or Pandora. But so will Echo.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, hey, Portal, play Spotify, it will play that. If you say, hey, Echo, play... It's very confusing. All right.
That's not my job. You have to ask Portal.
Get calls on Portal only when you're home? Why would you not say yes to that?
Well, what if you want to talk to the cat or the dog?
When you turn on Home and Away, Portal will use your mobile phone and this Portal's location to know when you're home and available to call.
Okay.
Otherwise, it won't. I'm going to say yes, and then it sent me a notification, and then say, hey, Portal, to start calls. It also has Amazon's Echo built in. So I'm going to say, I'm going to connect. Actually, I won't do that now because I don't want to go through that whole setup. So one of the things that's really interesting about this, watch this. This is a nice weighted screen that rotates very easily. So what I do, or I have been doing, is leaving this. Oh, it wants me to add some favorites. Okay, next. I thought I'd leave some of the setup around just so that you could see. Done. Okay, so here's
onboarding.
Here's some people, right? When I rotate it like this and I go into the smart photo mode, it gives me nice pictures. And this is kind of rotating through a slideshow of my images from Facebook. So if you use Facebook, you see it's got a clock. It's still listening for Echo. Every once in a while, it'll pop up some information from Facebook. I think it's a beautiful screen, don't you think?
It makes
it really nice.
Very high def in person.
All of these things had camera shutters. This clearly was an afterthought. Included in the package is this cheap piece of plastic that you can put over the lens if you don't want anybody to use the camera. This will get lost in minutes, but I just want to point out, it does come with that, and they say, that's privacy forward. So, shall we call? You want me to call? Should I call anybody? Should I call you? What do you think, Anthony? You ready to take a call?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Portal, call Anthony Nielsen. Oh, apparently he's calling me. All right. Yes.
Yes.
Backwards. Well, what happened is he called me at the same time as I called him. So now we're going to see sideways. So this is the other thing. You generally, when you're in the call, want to rotate into this longer mode because that's more natural, see?
And then
it's kind of like he's like there.
Are you driving right now?
Don't call while you're
driving.
So I think the camera is very good. I like this following you around feature. Sound is pretty good. It's got a big speaker underneath here. It's not, you know, it's probably Amazon Echo quality sound, mm-hmm. not much better than that. I made a number of phone calls and had a lot of fun. The other thing you can do that they've mentioned, oh, why is it showing you? Oh, Anthony's taking a picture of us taking a picture
of him.
This
is very meta.
That's very confusing, Anthony. Have some special effects. So let me go back in here. So there's two things. The special effects are a subset of effects available on Messenger. So if you've ever used, here, I'll show you my favorite. It's the cat head version. So first of all, we got to get a face here. Let me put a cat on my head. Oh, it's going to put a cat on your head. Once it gets, hello.
Oh,
now it's confused. I think we're really confused the hell out of this thing. How about another face? Maybe because it just can't see me. So you've seen these. These are Snapchat-style masquerade style.
Oh, look, you're talking with it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And the cat, my favorite is the cat head, because this is like a cat that's...
Wow.
A kitty cat that's sleeping on my head.
Wow.
His tail moves.
That's a cat that really needs
this
person.
He looks around. Isn't that funny?
Oh, wow. You got the dimensions in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good cat head. But this is a limited subset of what you actually get much better. And I'm
really
hoping they'll make all of the Messenger filters available because they're really good. Hey, man. Peace, baby. But this is a very limited subset. There's a black and white one. This one I don't understand. This is the dancing strawberry version of Leo. And this is my favorite. Hey, Mom. Yeah, I just had a little face work done. What do you think? Do I look relaxed? That's what the plastic surgeon said. I'd look like I was well rested. Oh, hi. There's another thing it'll do. Let me show you the other thing it'll do. This is, they get a lot of attention for this story time.
Oh, yeah.
So do you want me to read you, Anthony, do you want me to read you Three Little Pigs, Five Little Monkeys, Itsy Bitsy Spider, or Trouble Bubble?
Oh, he wants Three Little Pigs.
I'm hoping that they'll add more. There's only right now a few of them, as you can see, four stories. But what happens is it actually would allow grandma to read to the grandkids. Oh. And when it's time, this is what the grandkids are seeing. And when it's time for, this is the story of Three Little Pigs. See, because Mamma Helen's there. This is the story of Three Little Pigs. Next. Oh, I have to press this button. Next. Once upon a time, now Grandma's in the Three Little Pig land, right? Once upon a time, there was a family of three pigs, Patty Pig, Paul Pig, and Mama Pig. It's a long story.
I'm Mr. Wolf, and I smell someone new in my neighborhood. I pity the fool. I want to get those piggies.
You can go off script. No problem. Still let you.
So then we get to be the pig.
Oink.
Like, I'm Patty Pig, and we should hide from Mr. Wolf. I'm going to build a house to hide in. What's something really strong? I know. Bubbles.
Okay. So Patty made her house of bubbles. It was very soapy. This is not how I remember it. But Paul had another idea.
Oink, oink. Hey, bubbles ain't strong. I can make a stronger house than that. I can.
So Paul made his house out of waffles. Sure smells yummy, Paul. What do you think, Mama Pig?
How do you attract wolves?
Oh, these houses aren't strong at all, said Mama Pig. I'll build a really strong house.
So Mama built her house with brick, steel, and a high-tech security system. Much like our founder Mark Zuckerberg's home. Everyone hid in their houses from Mr. Wolf.
Oh,
I need your help. Who here knows our three wolf rules?
To be a wolf, there are three rules. First we huff. Then we puff. Then we blow the house down.
Sounds very good on Anthony's end, by the way.
Nice camera work. So me how hard you can blow.
Oh, look, there's little things
you
on the
screen. You gotta blow too. Anthony, blow.
Oh.
Say, that's pretty good. Let's try it. Anyway, you get the idea. This is enough.
That was a selling point, right?
That's that you can read stories to the grandkids. And
that's how they tug on your heartstrings. That's how they get you to buy this thing. They go, see?
And then you rate the call. It's very much like using Facebook Messenger for phone calls. It's a video call. And then you do see your favorites here in the screen and all of that stuff. But and you can add, you know, more favorites. They come from your Facebook favorites. These are the apps, and there's an app store, so you can get more apps. Right now it's a little bit limited, but there's a lot of music stuff. There's the Food Network. I would imagine that Facebook will in time add more apps to this list. YouTube.
Or maybe on-demand channels, like I would streaming channels maybe.
Not yet. Just the Food Network and Newsy, which I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
well, I know Newsy is offered on like all those streaming platforms, free streaming platforms.
Not sure I would really get my news from Newsy, but okay. So this is early days yet, and you kind of feel like this might have been a little bit rushed out. But what isn't rushed out is the technology, which I think works quite well. And I just leave it as a photo frame for Thanksgiving. We just left this on the table, and people enjoy the photo frame. You can set the photo slideshow rate from everything to from 30 seconds to, I think, 5 minutes or more. It's pretty nice. So $300 on sale on Amazon right now, $349 list price from Facebook. It includes this fine plastic privacy clip if you're nervous. I don't think anybody who's nervous about Facebook is going to buy this thing. But I have to say, having used it now, and I'm not alone, Russell Holly said it's the best video calling experience I ever had on Android Central. I have to say, I see the appeal of this. I don't think normal people are as nervous about Facebook as we in technology are. I don't actually use Facebook. You don't either. Yet, if you do, I think this is actually pretty
cool. A lot of
cool.
people really do. Imagine keeping do. In touch. I mean, keeping in touch with the family across the seas.
And this is, I mean, this is really well made. This is a weighted pivot that really feels good.
Wow.
That's a great screen. I think, I would guess that this costs Facebook close to $300 to make. This is not a cheap device. It's got a handle on the back.
It's weighty.
It's weighty.
It looks and feels weighty.
What
as
it
well.
Does lack, and you should know, is there's no other ports. There's no headphone jack. Mm-hmm. So my mom isn't going to like this because she likes to wear headphones when she's talking to me, so she can hear better. There is a Type C connector. We don't know what it does, but there's
connector.
A Type C connector. We're going to play with it, see if we can get video out. On off switch, plug. That's it. There's no other connections. It's really designed to be, you know, kind of a standalone. This is it. This is all it does device.
This is it.
Facebook Portal. There's a 10-inch version. I think if you're going to buy it, spend a little more and get the 15-inch version, as long as you have room on your counter.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a big thing. We're going to wrap things up with the mailbag in just a second. But first, here's Jason Howell. He's going to review the Acer Chromebook 13 watch.
Let's see.
For as much as I love my Pixelbook, I fully realize it has spoiled me. Yeah, I know that Chromebooks are really good at being dirt cheap. Many of them striking that pricing sweet spot of between $200 to $400. But it's really hard for me to accept that Chromebook has to always equal cheap build quality. What can I say? I prefer the Chrome OS experience because 95% of what I do involves little more than a web browser, and I prefer to have a nicely built piece of hardware to run it on. Thankfully, there are some Chromebooks that aim to check both boxes, and that is the case with the new Acer Chromebook 13 CB713. Mostly. So it's targeted at business users, and really, it's portable enough. It's compact enough. It's 3.5 pounds, so not super heavy. I've definitely felt heavier, though not as svelte when you compare it to the much thinner and I'd say a little tiny bit lighter Pixelbook that I use on a daily basis. The Chromebook 13 has an all aluminum design. You can kind of see there's some chamfered edging around the edges here. I'll go ahead and pop it open so you can see how the light kind of reflects off of that. It's got a nice effect to it. It also kind of softens the edges so that when your palms are down on the keyboard and you're using it, it doesn't kind of dig into your hands. That's really nice. It's got two USB-C ports. You can see one on this side next to the standard USB 3.0 port. And then you've also got the USB-C port on the other side. That comes in really handy when you want to, say, you know, power it into the wall from one side versus the other. Maybe the cord isn't long enough, or you want to drive an external display. It allows you to do that. You can also see that there's a little battery indicator. It's pretty slight. It's just a little, you know, a tiny LED, but it does the trick. It is on one side, though, so keep that in mind. And then swapping around the other side here real quick, you do have a micro SD card slot for storage expansion. And then, hey, what do you know? There's a headphone jack in there. They're still not at the point of removing those from the Chromebooks yet, thankfully. One complaint I do have about the design on this is that the hinges on the back, this one actually appears to be okay. Everything lines up. If you take a look right there, things are just slightly off, and it doesn't fare well for the premium quality of the design. I've seen other reviews kind of point this out too, so I do think that this is not an isolated flaw. Something to consider. It doesn't really get in the way of using the laptop, but it is a point of contention. Now, as it's open, you can see this has a 13.5-inch QHD Plus IPS LCD display. At 2256 by 1504, has a 3:2 aspect ratio, which I find to be ample. I'm going to log in here. And I find it to be ample for fitting all of my stuff on the screen. I actually prefer this over the wider screen versions of some Chromebooks I've seen. The display is sharp. It's beautiful, actually. It's bright, clear, has excellent viewing angles. As you can kind of see, there's a little drop-off as I rotate it to the side. It does lack one very key feature, I think, in Chromebooks. There's no touch screen. You can't touch it. It's not touch enabled on this particular model. And I feel like that reduces the potential of the Chromebook in this day and age, at least a little bit. Some Android apps are going to require touch typing or touch activity with multi-touch. And we'll talk about that in a second. But that is one downside here. It does have a 720p webcam up top for serviceable, I'd say, video conferencing. The keyboard and trackpad, I feel like, are often very, very weak spots on especially budget Chromebooks. And I'm happy to say that I really am happy with the keyboard. It has a soft click action when you're typing. Plenty of travel for me. I feel like I could type really fast on this. And then the trackpad is Gorilla Glass. Feels smooth and firm. Has a nice kind of click action to it as well. Overall, I felt like it was premium enough. It doesn't feel like a toy like some Chromebooks end up feeling. And it does have backlighting, by the way, so you get that in darkness. As for inside here, what you get is an eighth generation, in this particular model, an eighth generation Intel Core i5 quad-core processor, 8 gigs of RAM, which I feel like is plenty, 64 gigs of storage, and that is, of course, expandable with the micro SD card slot on the side if you need more than that. And I did not notice that with the Chromebook 13, you know, anything like slowdowns or stutters, it didn't really feel like it was catching as I was using, you know, the different windows and everything during my shows. Had chat running in one window, running a Google Doc with story links and everything throughout a show. No real slowdowns or stutters, and I'm really happy to see that. Did hear the fan kind of kick in at times. Sometimes it seemed like it was kicking in, and I wasn't quite sure why. Maybe, you know, there were processes going on in the background, but you could definitely hear it when that happened. This also supports 802.11 AC Wi-Fi and Bluetooth 4.2. Has a 54-watt, 4670 milliamp hour battery, which personally I found very reliable between charges. I was able to get a lot of time through this. They rate it up to 10 hours per charge, and I would say that's pretty relatively accurate depending on how deeply you're using this. As for the software, obviously it's Chrome OS. And I feel like it's kind of a known quantity at this point. If you like Chrome OS, you know why it's good. It's a secure platform, especially for business, which is what this laptop, what this Chromebook is targeting. Easy account access. You just log in and everything populates. All of your account information appears here. It's really nice. It does have the Google Play Store, as you can see down here. Play Store is down. And that means that you can access a ton of Android apps. But like I said earlier, without a touchscreen, that's going to limit you. Some Android apps require touchscreen access in order for them to work. And so that's going to limit your access to Android apps. However, having said that, many business apps like G Suite are fine in point-and-click land. So you're probably going to find the majority of those apps to be fine. It's just when you get too deep in the Play Store, you might be a little disappointed. This may be good enough for business users, which is who it's focused on. If touch is essential for you, make sure and look at the Acer Chromebook Spin 13, another new laptop that Acer released, a 2-in-1 with a Wacom style stylus support. And that starts at $699. So as for the configuration of the Acer Chromebook 13 CB713, it runs $799. Yes, cheaper Chromebooks exist. And yes, this higher price will keep some people away. Not everyone believes in the value of a more expensive, more premium design for Chromebooks. And yes, the Chromebook 13 isn't entirely bulletproof either. But for business users, it's likely good enough in most of the right places. And it fares better than most Chromebooks that I've tested. I'm Jason Howell, and you can catch me using my Chromebooks on All About Android and Tech News Weekly here on twit.tv.
So I would, thank you, Jason. I would want the touch.
Always.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of Chrome OS. You have to have that touch interface.
Why is it they feel like, oh, business people don't want touch? They just want to look at spreadsheets all day. But even if you look at spreadsheets all day,
it's a lot easier to do with touching.
Go to a cell, touch the cell. I don't. Well, anyway, there you go. Acer is making, that is not the Spin, right? There's also the Spin, which goes all the way around. That's the one I'd look at for consumers. That does have touch, the Acer Chromebook 13 Spin.
Yep.
All right. Now it's time for the mailbag. Sergeant Mom, fire when ready. Yeah, Susan G. I told her, push it as hard as you can. Thank you, Susan. Visiting from the Seattle area this week. And now here we go. A couple of questions for Flo. Pick one, and I'll take the other one.
I'll take this
one. It's so important what you pick, because you're going to get them both. Email number one from Randy. Hi, New Screen Savers. Hello. Regarding smart... I don't think Randy talks like that. Regarding smart white bulbs, do you know of any that are weighted for outdoor use? I've only found bulbs that say for indoor use only. Also, is there usually a warning against using for whites that are wired to multiple switches? Do you have a workaround? Thanks, Wendy.
No workaround.
There are outdoor lights.
Are outdoor lights. I would strongly suggest against any sort of workaround, just because moisture and electronics, as we all know, do not mix very well.
Oh, I could tell a story. We spent a lot of money to get somebody put up Christmas lights in our house. And I had all outdoor switches. I had those iConnect outdoor switches there. Shorted out. Blew the GFI
circuit.
Oh, yeah,
the iConnects, by the way, are not outdoor rated, as I thought they were.
It says outdoor.
I know. That's what Amazon labeled them as, and they're not outdoor rated.
So shorted out. I thank goodness I put them on a GFI circuit so it didn't cause bigger problems.
Yes.
But now half my house is lit. Half is in the dark.
Oops.
So, Randy, there is no workaround because it would be unsafe to have a workaround.
Yes, but there are outdoor bulbs, which is good. And, you know, the good news is that some of them actually cost less than the indoor bulbs. For instance, Philips Hue actually now has an outdoor bulb. The PAR38 is the model number. It's about $30. You can go check that out.
Nice.
That's brand new. That just came out. I haven't used it. There's also, Lifex has a sort of outdoorsy one. It's the BR30. Now, the LifeX one, I like them because their colors are beautiful. But the thing about LifeX is that this particular one is only rated for use in like a patio or in a gazebo or something that's a little covered. So it's okay with moisture outside and with coldness, but it's not okay to directly be rained on. So maybe keep it out of the rain.
Yeah. My iConnect is not in the rain, but it's moist and it was windy and it rained a lot.
Yeah, that's not
And
good.
I guess it's so... So how does one find these things out?
By using them.
Okay.
By using them.
Wow.
There's also Sylvania makes one, a Smart Plus bulb with Zigbee in it. So if you have a hub already in your house. Also, the Hue one does require a hub if you do want to use that one. Illumi is another brand. I have a couple of their bulbs. Colors are okay, but they go through Bluetooth and the app is kind of meh. But if you want to save some money and you want something that's outdoor rated, Illumi makes one that's pretty good. So between those three,
good,
got some choices.
What's your email say there, Ms. Flo?
So now we've got a second email. And the second email says, hi, Flo. This is to me. Given how much you like your Pixelbook, I was surprised to see you skeptical of the Slate. I'm trying to decide between upgrading my Pixelbook to a Surface or a Slate. Is there a circumstance where you would choose the Slate over the Surface? Leo, I would love some input. So I would say the Slate, because I haven't used it, and it's...
No one has.
No one has. It's available in so many different price points. You start at $599 for a basic tablet, basically, and it goes all the way up to, I think, $1,500 for a Core i7.
Crazy. But for $599, you get an i5, right? I'm trying to remember.
Something a little lower than that.
Yeah, and, there's the models there. So the Slate is, look at the size of that bezel, by the way. Come on, Google, you could do better than that. The Slate is, there's the base model. So storage, 64 gigs, 8 gigs of RAM.
8 gigs of RAM. Starts at 4 gigs. Celeron processor.
Oh, it's a Celeron.
Right.
And then the mobile processor, this next step up. You don't get to an i5 unless you spend $1,000.
Yep.
So that's problem number one. Yep. But that's true of all the Pixelbooks as well. These are expensive devices. Google doesn't hold back. They make the best device they can and sell it for the highest price.
Pixelbook is on sale.
I love my Pixelbook.
This week.
Pixelbook's not going to be much cheaper, though, is it?
I think it's $699
okay.
right now, which is not bad for a Core i5.
So the Slate is a tablet. Doesn't have
First,
you have to buy a separate keyboard.
Mm-hmm, $100.
They make a keyboard. It'll attach to it. Turns it into a Pixelbook.
Yep.
If you really wanted a tablet, I guess it'd be good.
Yeah, if you're willing to spend the money. But again, you have to think about, that's still Chrome OS that you're bringing in. And as much as I love Chrome OS and use it every day, I use it for 95% of the things I do. The 5% of things that I need it to do, I do on a PC, which is when I would say get a Microsoft Surface if you, you know, really rely on Microsoft Office, for instance. It's always like the best way to get that.
There's some good prices too on the Surface.
Absolutely. Right, if you love Adobe, the Surface is great for that. If you're a photo editor on the go, Chrome OS is not going to give you that experience and that, you know, the tight editing abilities that you need. So definitely not a thing for that. But as like a travel computer, if you're a blogger or a journalist, or, you know, you just have a lot of documents that you're constantly perusing through, actually, the Slate might not be so bad of an idea. I mean, Chrome OS is pretty good, but if you need that power using...
I just would get an Acer Spin 13,
yeah,
or a Pixelbook.
Or a Pixelbook.
I think given the fact that the Pixelbook is very high-end, but because it's a year old, they're cutting the prices on it, that might be a really sweet spot.
That's a sweet spot. It's really good. Like I said, I've been using it for months.
I love my Pixel.
Before that, I was using the Asus Chromebook C302, which is also a flippable, as I like to call them.
Classic.
A little lower end on the specs, so you're not going to get all of that like incredible performance that you get on a Pixelbook, but still incredibly reliable and also on sale for Black Friday.
And that's an i5 with, I think, 4 gigs and 128. I'm not sure. You have to look. Is the best place to get that store.google.com, or the Google Store, or maybe check, you know, your retailers that sell Chromebooks. They might have even better deals.
Best Buy, yeah. Amazon, yeah. If you've got a Fry's near you.
The Pixelbook keyboard's great. The trackpad's great. It's a beautiful screen. It's touch. It does go all the way around.
I even love the pen.
Now you have to buy that separately.
$100, but I tell you, as a precise pointer, when you're doing spreadsheets, when I'm filing invoices and I need to like go
Good
in
point.
There, I'll use that.
Good point.
Or if I need to edit photos or maybe scribble, I like to do that for annotations and things.
Yeah.
So it comes in handy.
And now that you can put Android on a Chromebook.
And Linux.
Through
the Crostini project.
I feel like that is a pretty capable bit of hardware, or as Ian Thompson would say, bit of kit.
And if you want to, you know, really go down to it, pretty soon we're going to have Android developers will be able to use Android Studio on the Chromebook.
Really?
Yes, that's
When's
coming.
When's that coming?
It's in the works.
So you could see this is where it has a little advantage against iOS.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So you could develop on it.
Yeah. We had talked about that this week on All About Android if you want to know more.
Interesting.
Go back a couple days ago.
Tune in, twit.tv/AAA.
Tune in.
That's where you'll find Ron Richards, Jason Howell, and an attractive young woman named Florence Ion. I hear she's a real up-and-comer. That Flow on the Twitter.
Yep.
And
I also have a website.
Your website? What's that? That's
FlorenceZion.com.
Is that new?
It is. I'm starting to talk about it more because I actually have been putting work into it.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to post. isn't it, with all the other things?
Well, actually, it was I needed to fix the layout, which, thanks to WordPress, a sponsor of Twit Network, I was able to learn how to use plugins to make that easy.
Far out. Lovely.
Yeah, use Google Fonts on my site.
I'm going to have to check it out. And you can catch this show if you want to watch us do it live every Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC. You can go to twit.tv/live, pick the stream of your choice, audio or video. If you are doing it live, you should be in the chat room. That's the kids in the back of the class who are all watching live as well. Lots of fun. irc.twit.tv. If you can't be here in person on a Saturday afternoon, and I know that life happens, you can always get on-demand versions of this show either by going to twit.tv/NSS. That's our webpage. Or subscribe. That's really the best thing to do in your favorite podcast application. That way you'll get it automatically the minute Anthony's done editing it. He just pushes it right out the door. Anthony Nielsen, our producer today, our camera operator, and our editor.
And my therapist.
And Flo's person.
I ranted to him this morning in an email because I had some problems last night.
Anthony's great. Thanks to Alex Gumpel, who is our technical director for the show today. Thank you for watching. We'll be back next week on the new Screensavers. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.